Morning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Number 21 in the supplement, "On Bended Knee I Come."
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to
spiritual blessings you bless us with. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus and his great sacrifice on the cross, that we may have a hope in heaven with you one day. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
The human mind is a beautiful thing. It was created by God to work in so many wonderful ways, and we have little understanding of the power of human recognition and reconciliation. But fortunately, for us, God is all-knowing and has given us the commands that will allow us to learn and remember his word. One of the most powerful tools we have for remembrance and for recollection is song. So that it's no surprise, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we are told to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. And it takes it a step further in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, as it is taken, we are told to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing or reprimanding one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When the Apostle Paul penned these commands to the faithful saints at Ephesus and Colossae, it was not some groundbreaking new idea that they would be singing and using song to study the scriptures, to learn the scriptures, to teach one another This was a practice that was extremely common back in the day, and it is today. One of the most powerful examples, and our greatest example, of course, is Christ, and is often overlooked, but it's an example of this. And I draw your minds to the picture of Christ on the cross at Calvary. In Matthew chapter 27, let's start in verse 27. It says, "And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, the King of the Jews.' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by the name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him a sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.' Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" These words, recorded by Matthew and Mark, have been misunderstood by many, including myself. Many throughout history have misunderstood this, not studied it properly or just taken it at face value, and maybe taught things such as Jesus at this moment was taking on the sins of the world, and so, you know, he was separated from God, so that's why he's asking God why he's forsaken him, or that Jesus had to turn his back, or God had to turn his back on Jesus in this moment. But this phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me, was not Jesus crying out against his Father in heaven. Instead, it was Jesus calling to mind the 22nd Psalm, a psalm which Jews and the faithful of the day would know by heart, a psalm which, if they remembered it and recollected it as they should, as we are designed to, by just hearing the first words, would say, wait a second. This scene matches exactly the prophecy in the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 22. Let's take a look at Psalm 22. "To the chief musician set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry to you in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I'm my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people which will be born that he has done this. Jesus was using just the first line of this psalm to call to mind the things which these people who were doing these horrible things to him and mocking him and ridiculing him, calling to their mind what it was they actually were doing. Now, this may seem a little strange, like, you know, who just shouts the first line of a song and it's just immediately understood by everybody? That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I call your mind back to what I said about the human mind and how it was created. If I were to stand up here and say, holy, 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 I guarantee I know what every single one of your minds is doing right now. Lord God Almighty. It's how our brains work. We call to mind those things which we hold important, those things that we let dwell richly within us. So what do we learn from this example of Jesus teaching and admonishing those at the scene of the crucifixion using the 22nd Psalm? First of all, obviously, this wouldn't be possible without God's divine creation, God's design. God made us to where our minds would work and think of something, completely recollect 3 minutes of phrases, of melodies, at the mention of just a few words. This, brethren, is how we are to use singing to stir ourselves up and to stir up others in remembrance of the scriptures. So why do we sing? We sing to be filled with the Spirit. Obviously, we sing to speak to one another, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, to let the word of God dwell richly within us, and to teach and admonish one another. Now, I've known this for a very long time. I've looked at this for a very long time, and it's like, yeah, that's what singing is. I know that. But can I honestly say I've ever felt admonished by a song? Yeah, I sure can. It happened a couple of weeks ago. Darren, thank you. Darren got up here, and he led You Never Mentioned Him to Me. And those words just about broke my heart sitting in the pew. Maybe for the first time in my life, now I don't have a very good memory, so I don't know if that's completely true, but those words sunk in and I realized I needed to fix something. I needed to do something because there are so many people that can be said of me that I never mentioned him to them. So I had to ask myself, and I thought of this sermon, then there's something I think we should all ask ourselves. Do we take singing in the assembly as seriously as we should? Do we just sing the words that are up there, go through the motions? Or do we allow the songs of praise to dwell in our souls? Do we allow the words that we're singing, along with the melodies, to call to mind the scriptures that we know, the things we've studied, the things that we need to do better? Do I mean what I'm singing? And I don't just mean, like, do I mean the words? Yes, of course, I mean God is holy, holy, holy. But am I also the type of person who makes the kind of pleas we often sing in our songs? Do I embody the character of somebody who's gonna bow down on bended knee and come to the Lord? Do I embody the character of someone who can sing these songs honestly? Now, our songs are not, for the most part, our songs are not entirely based on inspired scripture like the Psalms were. So do I take time to examine the scriptures on which our songs are based? Do I take time to know that when I sing this song, it's supposed to call to my mind this psalm or this epistle or this teaching of Jesus? Do I truly understand what it is I'm singing and where it comes from in the scripture? I can honestly say that I do not. It's something I need to work on. That's why I wanted to talk about it here today. We have to know how serious it is to treat singing like we should. We have to know that we are to utilize God's design because we are his workmanship and we must do it his way. We cannot lean on our own understanding. We cannot get what we need to get out of the singing portion of our services if we do not do it his way. Quickly, I would like to call to mind, it's a song I normally sing to begin services. I would like to sing it today to end this service. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home. Because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death, and cannot be satisfied, he gathers to himself all nations, and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him, and a taunting riddle against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? How long? And to him who loads himself up with many pledges? Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of it, the land and the city, and all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and the nations weary themselves in vain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will turn against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city, and all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that is that the maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with the gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. Through all the wickedness, all the pain, the sorrow, the doubt, just the general noise that is in the world each and every day, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And in here, in our worship to God, nothing else matters. Verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Sing number 55, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.